All right, well, you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verse 10, John 10, 10. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on the foundation of our power. The foundation of our power. And it says in John 10, 10, the thief, and that's the devil or Satan, our adversary, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to what? Destroy. Those are not good things. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that life is Zoe, life in all of its manifestations, every aspect of life. We can have it more abundantly, right? And this is what we as believers are after, right? We want an exciting and a dynamic life. We don't want to waste our time with a powerless God, right? If our God wasn't powerful, what are we doing here? Like, why are we even... What's the point, right? Who would want to waste their time with a God who doesn't listen to them or isn't powerful? So this is what we're after, right? We want a life that's more than abundant. And tonight we're going to look at the power and abundance that's available through the new birth. So go to chapter 4, verse 24. Mm-hmm. So Christ came so that we could have a more abundant life in every category, right? In every category. So any aspect of your life, if you think about it, can be more than abundant. In John 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, and so tonight we're going to take a quick look at how we were born with two of three parts, right? All of us here were born with two of the three parts that God intended for us to have. We were born with body and soul, right? Our physical bodies and then the soul or the breath life that makes us actually alive and not just a lump of muscles and bones. But we're missing a very important and critical third part, right? And that was spirit. And God is a spirit, and he intended us to have spirit. So go to Genesis chapter 2. The third part is what God always intended for man to have. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 15. But there's a reason that you and I were all born with just two of those three parts. And in Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And when God made man, formed, made, and created, it was body, soul, and spirit. And when after he formed, made, and created him, he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, so this is the word of God. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. And in the Hebrew, the surely die is like very, very emphatic. It's dying, thou shalt die. Okay? So it's like you're really going to... You're dying. Dead, die. So God said, don't do it. For in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. It doesn't get any more dead than that. So anyway, go to chapter 3, verse 4. So he gave them this command, don't eat it, you shall surely die. And then in verse 4 it says, and the serpent, who is the devil, the adversary. And remember, what is he after? To steal, kill, and destroy, right? That's his whole bag. He slithers along. He says unto the woman, you shall not, what? Surely die. So he lies to her. And he says, you're not going to really die. God bless you. You're not going to really die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ooh, special. Which is kind of funny when you think about it, because what did they know up until this point?
Only good.
Only good. So he's like, you know what? You want to know something? You want to know good and evil? Sounded kind of interesting, but they didn't know how good they had it. They only knew good. They just stayed put. They wouldn't have to know the evil part. Anyway, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So what did she do? She used her what? Her senses, right? Well, she was born body, soul, or she was formated, created body, soul, and spirit, but she was using her senses, which we all have, body, soul, people, everybody has senses, and that's what she got, that's what she ended up using when she was looking at all this, and it looked good to her. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit, took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And then they exploded into tiny little bits. And then a meteor came down and slammed right on their head. And then a bear ran out of the woods and mauled them. Well, it said they were going to surely die. They were going to surely die. But verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were what? Opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so, if you keep reading, you find out that they don't physically die, right? They don't physically die. So when God said, dying thou shalt surely die, he must not have been talking about them physically dying, because it's not like they ate the fruit and exploded into tiny little bits, right? They continued to live, and they made babies and had kids and populated the earth. So what happened when God said that they were surely going to die if they just continued to live? So the answer is that they lost spirit, right? They lost spirit. So when God said, dying thou shalt die, when he's talking about this very extreme death, and they continued to live and breathe, it shows you how important God felt about the spiritual part of man, right? He said, dying thou shalt die. Now, either they dying and shalt died, or they didn't, right? And since God's not a liar, it must mean that losing spirit was a huge, huge consequence and deal for them, right? And in verse 15, it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And this is God's promise to fix things, right? So when they lost spirit, they didn't physically die, but they lost that connection with God. They lost what made them powerful and special beings, right? It's what made them what God really intended man to be. And God knew that he had to fix it, right? He had to put something in place to make it right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So when we think about the magnitude and the foundation of what our power is, we need to kind of really think about how severe it was for man to lose that. 1 Corinthians 2:14. what a big deal spirit is. Because look, they continued to walk around and live and breathe and do things that most people do today. But from God's point of view, they were surely dead. Surely dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural or senses man receives not the things of what? Spirit of God. Well, that does sound pretty crummy. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual discernment comes via the Spirit. Natural man is separate from the born-again believer, right? Only two of the three parts, and not the most important one, right? That's Spirit. It's the foundation of our power, right? Is that Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So from God's point of view, they had lost that very critical component. What was going to make their lives abundant and powerful and enriching and worth living, right? His viewpoint was they had surely died. And man was in that state for a very long time. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, or think about, or care about, or focus on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Right? And so it's available for us as born-again believers to have a spiritual walk. But it's also available for us to continue to walk carnally. And it says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. And it's not like when we screw up and we fall back into those carnally minded ways and thoughts that we're blown to smithereens, right? But it does mean that we are not living the life that is truly available to us, that's abundant, that's full of life and peace, right? That's the life that God intended us to have, right? We're not going to get very far being carnally minded, but when we are spiritually minded and we walk spiritually, that's when we have peace and we have power and we have abundance. Go to Acts chapter 1. And that's what God intended for us. From the very beginning, that's what he wanted for man. Was to live a life in connection with God and fellowship with the Father, living a really abundant and blessed life. A life that knows only good. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, this is Jesus Christ speaking. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit, pneumahagion, not many days hence. And in verse 8 it says, but you shall receive, that's lambano, power, after that Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And the word power in verse 8, does anybody know what the word power is? It's dunamis, that's right. The word power is dunamis. And what is dunamis?
Inherent
power. Inherent power. That's right. Inherent power. So inherent power means like it's there, it's latent, it's ready to be used. We get the word dynamite from it, dunamis. So a cool illustration that I once heard about this, I don't know how many people, well, I don't know how many kids in here. Have you ever seen a lighter? A little Bic lighter, you flick it and the lighter flick. Okay, great. So you've seen these things. So there's a lighter, and it's either a stick or a little thing you hold in your hand, a little container. And it also has this metal part on top. And when you flick it, or sometimes if you got those fire sticks, you pull the trigger, that creates a spark. And then there's something inside the lighter called lighter fluid that is what actually burns and catches on fire. And so when you think about the three components to a lighter, it's like the three parts that God intended us to have. So you can have the physical part of the lighter, you know, the casing itself, and you can have the little sparkity-do on top, but if there's no fluid in it, it's not worth much. You could probably throw it at somebody, or you could, you know, I don't know, stomp it on the ground, but it doesn't do what you want it to do. There's no fire, you're never going to get fire out of it if it doesn't have any fluid in it, right? And so that's what it is to be just a natural man, body and soul. There's nothing that they can do to make that fire come out. So a born-again believer is that lighter, but now it has fluid in it, right? It gets the very important third part that actually makes it function for the thing it was intended to do. But if you never actually flick the top of it or pull the trigger, nothing happens with it. It's there. It's inherent. The spirit exists, but it doesn't operate. Nothing happens, right? It's just sort of there, right? And if you go to chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled, and that's the overflowing, with Holy Spirit. So they got the lighter fluid and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They flicked the thing on top. They operated that Holy Spirit, right? They operated and they spoke in tongues. They manifested it, right? The Spirit was given to them, but it was also operated. And that's what Jesus Christ had told them would happen. That they would lambano dunamis they would receive it into manifestation. They didn't just receive the Holy Spirit, but they received it into manifestation. They produced power, right? And that Holy Spirit is the foundation of our power. Without it, we're just the empty lighter, right? There's nothing that we can do to produce power. With it, we have the ability to produce power. Right, it's the foundation for the power that we produce. Go to Romans chapter 10. So God promised a redeemer, a plan to redeem mankind. He told Satan way back in Genesis 3:15 that there was going to be a Messiah. He put together a plan the moment that mankind lost that critical third part. And in Romans 10 verses 9, it says if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. And that's how you get Holy Spirit. It's that simple. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all you have to do. There's no extra to it. That's how you get born again. That's how you get Holy Spirit. That's how you get the foundation of the power that we have. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And that's what the Word of God says. So if anyone tells you have to do anything more than that, it's not according to the Word. That's all you have to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins," right? And we have to remember that's God's point of view. He's made us alive who were previously dead. "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of living in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when you were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Right? And that's what makes us spiritually alive again. From God's point of view, if you're just body and soul, you're dead, right? There's nothing there for you. You're not going to live an abundant life now. And when you do physically die, there's nothing else waiting for you, right? But that spirit makes all of the difference. It is the foundation of our power. It's what makes us alive spiritually again, right? And it's by his grace. It's just because he loved us so much. And the cool thing is that it's available to anybody. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." That's the one thing they have to do. We already saw it. Just believe. "For there is no difference." There is no difference. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Right? All can be brought back to God. All can be filled with Holy Spirit. All can have that powerful foundation in their lives if they believe. There is no difference. God is no respecter of persons, right? So it's available for anybody to get born again. It's available for anybody to become alive again spiritually. It doesn't matter to God. Ephesians chapter 4. So how do we strike the lighter? How do we produce the results? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. "That you put off concerning the former conversation," and that conversation is again the way of living, your manner of life, "the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." We have to put it off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right? We have to renew our minds to be spiritually minded. Right? Because now we have Holy Spirit. We have to start thinking that way. We have to start acting like we've got body, soul, and spirit. We renew our minds to think spiritually. Verse 24, "And that you have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Right? So that's the key. This is how we strike the lighter. We change our minds. We change our thinking. And we operate the manifestations, right? We operate the manifestations. We put off the former way of living. You know, we get rid of that old man thinking that says, "I can't do this," or, "I, you know, this doesn't work for me," or, "you know, my body can't do this stuff," or whatever it is. We think according to what God's word says is available. Right? We behave like we have Holy Spirit. We strike the thing on top of the lighter. We operate that Holy Spirit. Because it's in there. It's in there. And every time you speak in tongues, you're doing it. Right? And there's all eight other manifestations that we can operate as well. we just renew our minds to do it. We think spiritually and will produce that power and that result. This is the foundation of our power. In order to produce the power, we have to operate it. Go to Luke chapter 22. Because that's what produces an abundant life. That's what produces a life worth living. A life that's exciting and dynamic and powerful. And we're going to look at just a couple quick records here that illustrate that transformation. Our buddy Peter. We read about him recently. In Luke 22, verse 54, it says, "Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest," this is Jesus Christ, "and Peter followed afar off." So he doesn't want to get too close, but he wants to see what's going to happen to him. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him and sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'Hey, this guy was with him. This man also was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them, those guys.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. I remember seeing this guy.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly." Right? And so this is Peter without spirit. Right? He was a man who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man who felt really guilty for what he had done. Go to John chapter 20. He was a man who was keeping his distance because he was afraid. In John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled," and those disciples included Peter, "for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" So Peter was part of this group, right? After Jesus Christ was crucified, they went and they hid for fear of the Jews. They had seen all these great things. They had done some great things. And yet, here they were afraid. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 11. So we saw early in verse 4 of this chapter that they received Holy Spirit. And they manifested it. They spoke in tongues. And in verse 11, it talks about that. "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?' Others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine. They're just drunkards.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words.'" And listen up. Right? And so here we have a Peter who just, you know, not many days before was afraid. You know, was feeling really bad about himself. Certainly not a man of any kind of boldness, is now unafraid. He's full of boldness and is fired up. But this is the Peter that just received the Holy Spirit and operated power, right? It changed this man's life. It changed this man's outlook. Right? He was behind closed doors for fear of these people. And now he's telling them all to wake up and listen up. And in verse 37 it says, now when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive, lambano, the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll receive it too. You'll manifest also. Talk about boldness. And talk about fruit, right? Talk about fruit. What did God want for these people's lives? For it to be more than abundant. For them to operate power and for them to be able to see results. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Right? So thousands of people, about 3,000, got born again that day. Right? All because of the boldness of Peter. But that boldness came from this new life that he had. This new power, this foundation of power that he had and that he operated. We're going to close in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So don't forget, you're all filled up Zippos, ready to spark and blaze. That sounded like weed. I'm sorry, everyone. Ready to light a fire. Produce power. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. Right? We are made complete in the new birth. It is our foundation of power. For the people who don't want to hear it, it's just going to be foolishness to them. And that's their choice. But for the people who do want to hear it, it's going to save them. And it is their foundation of power too. It is the power of God. It's what God always intended for you, for me, and for all of mankind, was to have that Holy Spirit. And that's what makes us truly alive.